Hey, you heard of Urban Float? Well, if you like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli in the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pod filled with purified skin temperature water and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. The health benefits are profound. I love it. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Just be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use code FIRSTTIME at checkout to receive 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Morning.
That's you, bro.
That's you. How you doing?
I dig the look. I like that. It's like a it's like a gas station guy.
It's a new uniform, I guess, but it was something that the look found me, and I years ago I was in a rockabilly band.
Well, I was going to say that's the look.
Yeah,
got the sleeves rolled up.
Well, and I had a gas station shirt with the Texaco on it, and my name in the band was Skip. That's another story for another time. Anyway, and I still have the shirt. It's a good quality work shirt, so I wear it on gigs. And then, you know, I really started trying to brand the whole my music when I started writing. So I went out and got these recently. And I got a couple of them.
Well, you know, one of my favorite bands, absolute favorite bands, is Social Distortion.
Yeah.
Do you like Social Distortion?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Dude, Mike Ness is the shit, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
I listen to Social Distortion every day.
Very good.
At some point in the day, some Social Distortion will come on.
It's probably better than going to church. That's
amen. But, you know, Mike Ness, so I used to live out in San Diego. I lived out in Encinitas, in fact, and that's where they were from. And I was dating this girl, and she was friends, or was, I don't know what they were doing, some side work. But yeah, she was good friends with Mike Ness, and he would call the apartment all the time.
Oh, that's cool.
But this was, you know, this was 25 years ago, so he was super young. You know, I always say, and I don't know, I know he struggled with some demons, like a lot of us have.
Yeah,
but
haven't we all?
I always say, why isn't this band bigger? You know, why, what happened? And I'm assuming it's some of the struggles, because they're super talented.
Yeah.
I mean, catchy music. Every song is just,
yeah,
I guess maybe just there is that little one, you know, alleyway of a Mike Ness voice kind of style.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not into that style, you're pretty much done with that music for the day. But I love that band, Mike Ness and that whole band. But they have that kind of look.
Yeah.
And I actually saw them open. They opened for Pearl Jam, and they freaking knocked it out of the park.
They're absolutely great. And we were talking before about guitar. And
pull that a little bit closer. You can pull it to you. So you find a spot that's comfortable, and then get the
How's
mic
that?
To you. That's,
oh, yeah. Okay.
There you are. What's up?
I'm in the room now.
Hold on real quick. Let's introduce yourself.
Okay.
Go for it.
My name is Jim Rezac, and I'm from the, I have a studio in Wyoming, Delaware, where I teach and I play and write music.
Well, and Jessica Moyer-Smith,
yep,
who was on the podcast, sent me a message, sent us both a message, right? Connected us through, which is, I've never had that happen either.
Yeah, she walked away from this and said, oh, I got to get those two guys together. And I thought that was cool. I always pay attention to that when someone says, hey, you need to meet this guy.
That girl, she's a great girl. So
I saw her at 6 o'clock this morning for one of her classes, so I'm a little sore.
Oh, you went to the class?
Yeah. second one in a week, and we'll see if I can make it. Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed having her on, and I enjoy her drive. I enjoy her spirit, and her story was terrific. So, Jessica, thank you if you're listening. Thank you for bringing us together, because he's a cool guy, and his sleeves are rolled up, so right away, that's cool.
You like that, huh?
Well, I mean, why not? You know, it's funny because we start, you know, I don't know how old you are. Yesterday was my birthday. I just turned 51.
Oh, my gosh.
How old are you?
I got about 10 years on you.
You're 61.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we get older, you know, we don't want to lose our identity.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to fade off into no man's land.
That's never been an effort for me. I've never had there's that conscious effort to be young or act young or whatever, and somehow I've never had a problem with that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, and you mentioned you have a kid or kids. I don't know.
Yeah, I have two sons, 24 and 22, Jake and Zach.
I have two sons. One's 8 and one's 14, and then
difference.
I have a daughter at 7. So, I'll get accused of acting young by my kids. I like to be an individual, and I appreciate anybody that still, holds on to it, because it's sad when we lose our identity.
Well, and to that point, the more I started playing, I had the gigs have gotten more interesting, and through some of my efforts, I'd like to think. And this summer, about a month ago to the day, as a matter of fact, I was playing the Music Fest in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and a couple weeks before that, I said, I'm not just going to go throw on a T-shirt or something like that. This idea I had for getting these like work shirts with a little patch on them with my name on it, I thought, let me do that.
Would have been cool, or would be, and not that that isn't, because that's a terrific shirt, but Dickies makes a great shirt.
Yes.
And I did the same thing. I had a bunch of them made for the salon, and I had my name put on them, and the logo and stuff.
I'm going to get a little more picky now, because I just went out and grabbed the first couple of ideas. I said, this will work, but now I'm going to get something maybe fits a little better. And but yeah, I'll have to get the Dickies. Huh?
You don't want to be too tailored.
No.
That would be...
No.
That
no.
You don't work at a gas station.
Right.
I know what you're doing.
That must be the snazziest gas station around.
There ain't any oil on that shirt.
Yeah, I should do that. I should put some stains on it.
Yeah. So, is that your style of music, rockabilly sort of? Or?
Well, I was in a rockabilly band about 19 years ago with a 710 Split was the name of the band. But and even at that point, I wasn't writing. I've been playing guitar my whole life, but I didn't really start writing until about like nine years ago. And I joined an Americana band called Runaway Train, and there were two writers already. I thought, and they were playing their own original music. I thought, let me take some of these things I've had for years. And it isn't the stuff I write, I guess, it falls under that weird category where we throw things we don't know where else to put, singer-songwriter kind of thing. I do a lot of, acoustic, solo stuff, but I've been incorporating, especially lately, the electric guitar. Like, instead of showing up with an acoustic, just me, I bring the electric, and there's something. So it's getting back to that.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I we talked a little bit prior, but I played guitar. I was big into guitar,
yeah.
and I had my first class in 10th grade was guitar. And we would sit in the parking lot and smoke weed. And then we'd go on some psychedelic...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. We'd go on some psychedelic trip in first period. But, we weren't into the psychedelics. We were into Metallica.
Right.
It was like Ride the Lightning had just come out. And, I walked the path of guitar. And there at the end of the path was two ways to go, techno or James Hetfield. And
I
chose James Hetfield. And back in those days, it was the battle between Eddie Van Halen and Randy Rhoads, and you either Eddie
yes.
Van Halen or Randy. What were you?
I was probably, mad respect for Randy Rhoads, but it was probably Camp Eddie.
Yeah. Well, I was Camp Eddie, too, but the funny thing is, later in life, I would learn that how awesome Randy Rhoads was.
Oh, my gosh. When you grab onto him because you're into Ozzy, as a kid, and then you realize... Wait, he was classically trained. Then you watch him and you think, yeah, he's a classical guitar player, just standing up and holding a flying V.
Well, and Randy, and both Eddie Van Halen and Randy Rhoads have had great nuances, but I didn't appreciate the sounds, the moans that Randy would pull out of that. That,
right,
just that, he just made some sounds.
That was a good impersonation. That was really good.
Did you think that Randy was here?
Yeah. Where?
Is that you, Randy? But my buddy Mace... And Mace was Randy Rhoads, and Mace was, big time guitar. Still, I'm not really in touch with Mace anymore, just because we kind of went our separate paths. But he was always Randy Rhoads, and I was always Eddie Van Halen. But later, I would learn,
Well, it's funny you mentioned Randy. I kind of got pulled back into, not that you forget about the guy, but a few years ago, again, when I was with the Runaway Train, the Americana band, we had the pleasure of opening up for a house concert for Janet Robin from L.A. She's on tour now on the East Coast right now. Her birthday was a couple days ago, but she's monster guitar player.
Wow.
And she, I think from the time she was 10 to 14, maybe, if I got that correct, if I studied her bio enough, she took lessons off of Randy Rhoads. So
she actually took lessons?
Yeah, lessons off him when she was a kid out in L.A., and her playing shows it, and so she naturally is a, you know, whenever they have those anniversary celebrations or tributes, you always see her on stage, you know, and big fan, but she's also quite accomplished. And so I started paying attention to Randy again, probably because of Janet. You know.
Well, Randy, I mean, Randy was just a small part of really, honestly, that whole branch that came off. It's funny, I just watched on YouTube yesterday, Black Sabbath Live, 1970, Berlin.
Oh, wow.
Dude, could you, I mean, that, yeah. Listen. Exactly.
Electric Funeral. I don't know why that's the song that jumps in my brain every time I hear the name Black Sabbath.
But what I appreciate the most is that it's like, you know, Tony Iommi's just like a one chord plugged into a Marshall, and he's just playing.
Right.
You know, Geezer Butler, didn't he play? Yeah. He was bass, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's got that, like, a huge Fender bass, but he's got that thing, like, centered.
Right.
And he's like playing on the neck, and he's just and you know, no pedals. See, and no flash, just grinding out the metal.
See, you're like that. You notice those. You're like me in that respect. I like to think I'm like that. You notice those idiosyncrasies, and those become the thing that you get excited about. Like, oh, wait to see this guy. He plays like this or whatever. Saw a band on Saturday with my brother Ed in Annapolis. Swamp Candy.
Nice.
And the bass player played an upright bass with, he had, his right foot was barefoot, and he played just a bass drum along with it.
Yeah.
It was just fun to watch. That's the kind of stuff, you know.
Do you go to Firefly?
Yeah.
Did you go this year?
Yes.
What day, or did you go all weekend?
I go all weekend.
So were you there Friday?
Yeah, I'm the oldest guy there. I'm the guy that people point to and say, hey, it's Grandpa. No, well,
That's great to know, because we go every year, so we'll definitely have to go hang out this year.
Go with my brother from Lewis, my brother Joe and Marcy Rezac. They're here from Lewis, and probably spend a good chunk of time with them. They always, my sister-in-law Marcy always has a band each year that she says, okay, I know you don't know these guys, but you need to go see them.
Well, isn't that the Easter eggs of Firefly?
Yeah.
Because,
yes,
you know,
that's what...
everyone's like, oh, I don't really like the lineup this
year. They say it every year.
I don't like the lineup.
Every year I walk away saying, ooh, I love this guy. That's the whole... I mean, if someone my age can go looking for new stuff, then it's a shame that everyone isn't doing that.
Bro, there was... If you went Friday, did you see the Naked Party?
I missed it. No, I didn't. I'm sorry to say.
Dude, look them up. They reminded me like of an early Rolling Stones, young. They had that reverby old sound. We were on the other side of the complex or whatever, the field, whatever, the area.
Yeah, then they go and change the stage names on me, and now I'm really missing.
Well, we had just seen maybe TLC, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I could hear this band playing, and I'm like, I don't know what that is, but let's go check them out.
Yeah,
giant Easter egg. Well, let me back up. We got there, so I can only afford one day, you know, because I take my kids and they love it. $1,000.
Oh yeah, I go by myself, and I'm just, you know, that way no one else's schedule. I'm my own guy, and I just like kind of.
Well, we usually pick a day. I'd usually let my son pick a day that we loved Panic at the Disco this year, and but we got there on Friday, probably I don't know one. Walk in, and there's a band called The Record Company playing.
Yep, saw them.
Dude.
Saw them, yep. They were my Easter egg, I guess.
They were my Easter egg.
Yes.
We got there, and I was like, what? And that bass
player.
See
how simple?
It was a three-piece, right?
Yeah.
And he played, like, flat guitar.
Yeah.
And so I took a picture of that band. I took a video, and I posted it on Instagram and tagged him.
Yeah.
The guy took it and thanked me in Instagram. I mean, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
I got recognized by the band on Instagram, and it's kind of...
Wow, cool. That's a great... Because that's again, Friday. It's usually with me, it's like years ago, the year Paul McCartney played a, I was introduced to Benjamin Booker for the first time, and that was on the first, I think it was the first day, maybe not. But yeah, and once again, to give props to my sister-in-law, Marcy, she's the one that said, you got to go see Record Company. And there we were with them. And I was like, oh my God, these guys, it was, and I almost didn't go. I almost got caught up doing something else. But that was my highlight. Yeah,
that was a great. Well, and if, and look up Naked Party. I mean, no, they're on iTunes. They're an amazing band. So
imagine if you Google that, you better spell it right, or you end up with all kinds of, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything.
A party
about
where
that.
Everyone was naked.
I don't know about anything about that, Jim. But yeah, so Firefly turns out, if you listen to all the naysayers, it's a bad lineup, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
I had the best time this year.
They're wrong every year. Those
they're
naysayers.
Wrong every year. Yep. And so Naked Party was great. Record Company was great. What was the guy? I think the black guy that played before Panic! At the Disco, Terrence.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, I forget. Blank. It'll come to me. But he was great. TLC. I like those nostalgic bands when they come out, but
yeah,
that was just that one was a little.
You mentioned Easter eggs, and I find it hard to believe that some people. I say, hey, do you go to the Treehouse? No, I haven't. I don't really go there. I'm like, oh my gosh, you should just. So that's my favorite place to wander in. I hear some music, and I just do. Now they cleared it out more. It's I don't know if you go much to the
Tree. We went.
It's cool. It's shaded, and it's a different vibe. And it's fun.
I think that they do an amazing job for Firefly. I didn't actually go. I poo-pooed it in the beginning. I was like, I am not going to
God,
the festival.
We were so, so the first couple of years I didn't like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, Leo, called the year McCartney played, he called me up and said, hey, I can't believe a musician who saw Wings Over America, and you know, back in 76, and you play music, you teach music, you're Beatles, you got a practically a shrine to the Beatles in your studio. What the hell? He said, I bought you a ticket to Firefly. You're going this year. I said, no, you don't. You know. And I went, and I've been hooked. I go every day, and I just love it.
Dude, I went to, there was a Paul McCartney impersonator that played down at the bandstand a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I started to cry.
Good?
It was that good. And I don't mean boo-hoo, but I like a tear. A tear trickled down my eye. I was like, that's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, good for you that you get to see Paul McCartney, because I did not go to that. Was he good?
Oh, my God. Yeah, he played and played and played. And it's like, you know, you remember all the stuff he played. Like, oh, my God. Yeah, it was good.
Well, I regret not going because I missed a lot of the good bands. I would have loved to have seen Mumford & Sons. I have seen them.
They were good.
I wanted to see Mumford & Sons. I would have loved to have seen 21 Pilots, I think, played early there. That was really that was initially what got us going to Firefly. My son loved 21 Pilots. And that year that we – so we've been 3 years. The first year was with 21 Pilots. The first Easter egg I came across was Weezer. And I grew up with Weezer, so it wasn't a total surprise, but what was a total surprise is how good they were and how I knew every single song.
So I just heard that it was at Weezer, Green Day, and who else? Fall Out Boy are going on tour next year all together. But Weezer's funny because that's one of those bands that kind of, it's the W's, I think. Weezer and Wilco, I knew of back when, and then they kind of faded away from off my radar.
Right.
And Weezer, the aforementioned music fest that I was honored to play at, they were playing up there, and I couldn't, it's a 10-day music fest, and they were playing early on.
10 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, it's the biggest, it's the largest free outdoor music fest, and everything's free, but they have some main acts that play every day, Weezer, Steve Miller, Brad Paisley, Lady Antebellum, Godsmack, Incubus, stuff like that. And
festival bands.
Yeah, I really wanted to go up and see Weezer, but I'm thinking, no, I'm going up the last week. I'm going up for 2 days. I can't really swing that, but next year, I'm just sorry I missed them.
Well, fortunately and unfortunately, I have a son who's 14 who just freaking loves music.
Yeah.
And I love that. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Well, in my case, it sort of does. They don't, my guys, I try to bribe them. I say, come on, it always falls on Father's Day. Come at least Father's Day. They go, okay, Dad. And they're like, you know, festivals aren't our thing. Music festival. I said, just go once, you know.
But I don't understand that festivals aren't our thing. You don't have to dress up like a clock.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to get them there next year. They're
coming. Do you do some festival dress up?
Oh, no. But dress like the pizza guy or the...
A clock or something.
I love that. I have a great picture of myself with the guy a few years back, 3 years ago, who dressed as the Pope. And he walked around. It was the Pope, but he was wearing different colors. But anyway, and he stayed in character. He looked like my brother-in-law, Matt. And I went up to him, and I had the most offensive T-shirt on that day. Someone gave me a T-shirt that you can only wear at Firefly.
Yeah.
It was a big rooster. And it said, world's greatest, and then the picture of the rooster. And I got that picture with me and the Pope.
That sounds like a great shirt.
Those are pictures Mom will never see.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't think for the money you can go wrong, quite honestly, because we went up to see 21 Pilots up in Brooklyn. I mean,
yeah,
I don't even want to talk about the price. I saw Mumford and Sons over at Meriwether. I took my daughter. I won't even talk about the price I paid. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Festivals are the way to go.
For 200, I think, and we do VIP now, not because we're VIP, but
now,
we do take the kids, and it allows us to have a little section over there where it's, not that it's not, the whole festival isn't safe, but it's a little better.
I'm hearing you, and I had to get over that Catholic guilt of mine, like, you know, because you almost cover up the VIP. You don't want to offend, you know. But it's fun. It's shortcuts. An old guy like me walking, you know, I get the shortcut walking through instead of walking all the way around. Bottled water, just that alone. The bathroom in the trailer. That's a whole lot better.
Well, I do feel bad, as I said, in that plastic Anorandic chair, as these people to my right, our faces are pressed up against the fence like cattle. Like,
yeah,
water. Yeah. So I do know how you feel, but whatever, I paid for it, and it's a nice option, especially when you take kids, because kids these days are getting into music younger and younger. I know my son Sam, he's like, well, in fact, we're going to go. Did you see AJR? I think they played on Sunday. Was it Sunday I think they played?
Yes, yeah.
They're a great band. Great young band. I love their message, you know. Yeah. Don't worry about the likes. Worry about the clicks, you know, the music. Yeah. And I love that message, especially when my 8 and 14 and 7-year-old love the band.
Yeah.
I like the message, you know, don't smoke pot, you know, listen to music. Don't worry about your phone, yada, yada. I appreciate it. So we're going to see them up in... either D.C. or Philly. We're going, and we're also seeing Half Alive. I think they also played.
If they did, I didn't catch them. I didn't, and it's funny because it's like going to Disneyland and only having a day. You're not going to see everybody. I feel bad. I'll be sitting there and I'll. I was looking 2 years ago, 2 summers ago. Lord Huron played, and I just loved them, and they played, and I thought it was odd because they took like three of their biggest hits that everyone knew and played them at the front end of the set. And I'm looking around at other people kind of like, okay, I got to get to go see the other guys. I did the same thing. And this is the band that I was looking forward to for a whole year. And I said, well, you know, they played all this stuff I want to hear. Let me go catch this other band. But it's fun. It's fun just kind of going in and out. And like I said, if you're by yourself, it's easier to do. You don't have to check, hey, well, what do you want to see next?
And the other thing is that, you know, I'm sober. So, you know, I get tired and I'm an old man, yada, yada, but at least I'm not like pissing myself, you know, at least I remember. I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Albuquerque was always a main stop for all the bands.
Yeah.
And back in those days, you know, the tickets were $25.
Right.
You know, I'm seeing Triumph, I'm seeing, you know, Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, Ozzy, you know, if it's a band, they came through Albuquerque.
Yeah.
So I grew up in, you know, enjoying bands and concerts. That's the only little bit of a downside of living down here is that, you know, it's a pain in the ass to go see a band.
Right.
Unless, you know, it's at Firefly.
And I think that's why we all went nuts over with the fact that Firefly, you know, they came here. And that's an interesting story. You ought to watch that on YouTube, how they came to choose.
I did. I saw
it. Great.
They drove by. They were actually considering the track, right? Dover Downs.
Yeah, and actually Dover was sort of a side note. They're like, well, since we're in the Baltimore-Philly area, let's drop by and see it, and they did. And from what I learned on the documentary or whatever it is, they kind of looked at the track and they could tell by the faces that they weren't impressed. And they said, well, let's show you something else. And that's when they took them back and they went nuts over it. And yeah. I thought, good thing for us, man. That just, I don't know.
Well, and people have kind of hinted around like that. I don't know why, but they said the lineup's no good. So they feel like that it's starting to fall off. And I think that's
horrible that, you know, they're doing it. It's like, hey, if you don't want to go, that's fine. But don't, like, it is a good thing.
It's great music.
It's music. And I won't mention any names, but I have some good friends that are like musicians or in the music industry. And I'll say, hey, do you go to Firefly? Nah. And they like kind of, and that's okay. That's their opinion. But it's really, if it's not based on being there, then it's kind of not a real, you know.
Right.
Like, go, check it out, and then slam it if you want.
Well, I like I said, I'll confess, I naysayed it in the beginning. I'm like, I'm not, you know.
Right. That's
I'm
so
not
right.
getting that. But when we went, we had, so the our first experience is when we saw Weezer and then 21 Pilots, and we just had, and then from that point on, my son's like, we're going to have to go to this all every year. And yeah. I'm like, definitely. But then the following year we got VIP, so that was even a little bit better.
My good friend Keith Broden, who I play with in a little duo called Pub Crawl, we get to play this, my Rehoboth connection. We play at the Blue Coast and we play Cuvee Ray Wine Bar. He's a great guy. He's from Newcastle, England, and he always comes off of, he's always been. Firefly has been his like mecca, you know, it's like his vacation every year. But he'll come off of it, and you could always tell who influenced him. Like the year he went to see 21 Pilots, he showed up at practice with a brand new ukulele. You can plug it in, and you know, we were doing House of Gold before you know it, you know. And he just, you know, it's kind of neat. But it doesn't. You go to something like that as a musician, you know, you don't go say, oh, I want to copy that guy or whatever, but you go and see Nathaniel Rhett-Lev or something, and you come back fired up. Like, I remember thinking, I need to put more energy in my songs.
Right.
Like, but it's fun. It's good. The festival experience is definitely good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, my buddy Carlos and I, corporate, we're huge Pearl Jam fans. We love the band Pearl Jam, and he tells me, he goes,
nice poster.
Thank you. He goes, The number one requested band for Firefly is Pearl Jam.
I bet. Yeah.
Have you seen? Do you like Pearl Jam? Or have you
ever? I love them. I haven't seen them.
Oh my God.
I know. But that, you know, it's funny because as I have a lot of people offering me, hey, you got to come to this concert. And I don't go to as many as you would think. Being a musician, I tell people, well, I'm usually playing or something like that, but that's not true. I don't know. There's something, you know.
Well, we are getting older, and you know what? I always say life is great as long as I'm not being inconvenienced. And my only problems are inconveniences. So sometimes driving, you know, and now with the kids. So like I said, we went to Brooklyn. I had a friend that's like, I got some 21 Pilot tickets. You want them? I'm like, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
And I go, yeah, definitely, you know, because I'm going to be a superhero to my son.
Right.
Oh, it's in Brooklyn. I'm like, oh, for God's sake. And I swear, I you know, it might
so
as well
be. So the tickets are free, but the trip is.
No, the tickets weren't free.
Oh, they weren't?
No.
I thought he was giving them.
But, you know, I worked myself, oh, God, this trip. Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, all prior to going and just, I mean, not staying in the moment. Yeah. Finally, the day comes. We jump in the car. We literally get to our hotel in like 2 hours and 45 minutes. Like, we had no traffic.
Wow.
We pull right up into Brooklyn. It's one of the most beautiful days in the, you know, in the whole week. We walk to the venue. I let my wife and son, she took him. I sat outside like an old man, and it just was perfect. There was no hiccups.
Yeah.
We stayed in Brooklyn. I mean, you know, we dropped a little money. That wasn't, you know, but that's going to happen. But we were home the next day. I mean, it took us 3 hours to get home. It was like, it just doesn't work out any better. But I will make the worst of it.
And, you know, and I think maybe, and I like looking forward to stuff, and that's fun. I also like the surprises. I mentioned Keith before, my buddy. We played at Blue Coast on the 24th of August. And at the end of the night, we're packing up, and he says, hey, you want to go to a concert on the 26th? I said, that's Monday. He says, yeah, it's at the Avalon. I said, well, let me see if I can rearrange my teaching schedule. And I did, and we went to see Josh Ritter, a songwriter, you know, solo guy. That guy played for 2 hours, which isn't, that's kind of neat. A lot of people do that. But he didn't even take a sip of water, which that blew, that alone blew me away. But I talked about it the whole ride back. But that was unexpected. We had the time of our life. We walk, you know, he and I talk about the lyrics and about the, I said, what about that one song? That was a dark song. He said, yeah, you know. And but it was unexpected. Here I am on a Monday night, late on a Monday night, discussing intense lyrics like that. You know, I would have been binging something on Netflix, you know.
Well, I saw Pearl Jam the last time they toured, and they came out. This was up at the up in Philly. I don't know whatever replaced the Spectrum. And
is it Citizens? I don't know.
Nice place, but Pearl Jam came out, no opening act, played for 3 hours. Eddie Vedder, and you know how Eddie Vedder sings. I mean, yeah. I'm standing, and we had front row. Yeah. We literally had, I was right, we were, I mean,
that's
one
an
person.
That's like an athlete.
Yeah.
With the voice, you know, that's, you know, if, you know.
Dude, I could go sing one song at karaoke bar and be, I can't talk for the rest of the night.
Yeah. I see people like another friend of mine, sounds like I'm dropping names, but these are people who have impressed me or something like that. But Saul Knopf is a good friend of mine. He
I want to get him on the podcast.
Guy plays like 26 times a month, every month, and he sings. It's like, oh my God.
And he's good.
Yeah.
I seen him at the country club.
Yeah, and smiling Saul never has a bad night. He does, but you just don't know it probably. You know, it's like, but yeah, how does someone sing like that? But Eddie Vedder, you know, singing 3 hours.
3 hours, and I'm just looking at him like, "Where's something? What's going on? You know, where's the backtrack? I don't know what's going on." But and he just does it. Well, listen, I didn't have you on here to reminisce all day. Jessica brought us together, but you know, you have a music, I guess, a music school. Or
yes, I it's a Delaware guitar school. I can't believe that name wasn't taken. And it's in Wyoming, Delaware, in the Ice House, that's what we call it. It's a 100-year-old brick building, got a lot of history. Used to be an operating ice house. I remember going there and getting big cubes, you know, blocks of ice for when my dad would have a 4th of July party or something like that. But it couldn't be a cooler place. I'm right on the tracks. Wyoming itself is a little slice of Americana. I tell everyone the only thing missing is Norman Rockwell.
Yeah.
I mean, you play guitar at the ice cream stand sometimes, and people have strollers and dogs and everything. It's great. But I teach probably 55 to 60 students every week.
Wow.
When I got into it, I was looking for work. I had done this for years, but never thought it would be something that I could do full time because, you know, there aren't that many people, you know. You know, you have to teach from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and that's not enough hours. Well, there's homeschoolers, there's retirees, there's people with flexible, like me, that have a job, you know, they're their own boss, and they have flexible schedules. I'm teaching my chiropractor, I'm teaching the guy that, you know, tints windows for me and stuff like that. So it's like, it's kind of neat. The other thing, I was afraid of burnout. I was thinking, boy, if I start teaching guitar every day with that many students, I'm not, and that isn't, I don't happen to have a cookie cutter way of teaching. So I think that's part of it. I don't, you know, everyone's different. The guy coming in who is 42 and I used to play in college, but I gave it up. So I know some chords. I just don't know how to put it together. Is different from the 8-year-old who's never picked up an instrument and wants to learn to read. Mom, dad, you know, want them to learn to read.
Who would you rather teach?
Oh, that's a great question. If you see me, and I'm going to sound like I'm bragging here, but if you see me with kids, you can go, wow, he's great with kids. They're laughing, they're having a good time. And I do, I thoroughly enjoy it. But there is a different, I don't know if it's better or I like it more, but there is a different kind of satisfaction or enjoyment from teaching adults. Think about it. The guy who maybe picked up the guitar a little bit or maybe didn't and wanted to, and then college, and then marriage, and then kids and stuff. Life gets in, not in a way, but life comes along. I get to be the guy to call it the, it's often used term, bucket list. You know, I get to be the guy that gets to see them when they, oh my gosh, I'm playing that Bob Dylan song I loved for my whole my life, you know. So that's kind of fun. I thoroughly enjoy it. And they practice.
Well, I will tell you, some of my favorite experiences, some of my favorite memories are hanging out at the music store. And, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, I grew up in Albuquerque, but I wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah.
And
who
I
didn't?
I loved playing the guitar in the mirror. I loved playing air guitar. I played with a tennis racket. I mean, that was my whole, I say that was my first drug. You know, it made me feel better. It made me feel taller. Made me just feel like more important. And then when I started, I got my first guitar, and I used to go to the music store, and, you know, you take them off the thing, and you sit down, and you play the guitars, and then you'd go in the back room with the teacher, and you'd sit in the little teaching room, and you'd get your half hour, and it was just the best.
Yeah.
And my first song I learned was Breaking the Law, Judas Priest, and it just, when those... and just has my fingers doing it.
You're saying Judas Priest, I'm thinking Beavis and Butthead right now.
Breaking the law. But that was my, you know, and it would just take me on a journey which would have highs and lows, quite honestly.
Yeah.
It was the door open to some shady and some great and some sunny times, you know?
I have a student, I think he's a sophomore now, Brody Huff, who he came to me like when he was in eighth grade and could already play. So we're just doing like theory, and that's fun because everyone comes in. I don't want to learn theory. Just show me how to play Hank Williams chords or whatever. So we're doing theory, but this kid tells me like in the summer he'll play 8 hours straight, you know, to 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So talk about a drug. You know, it's not a bad thing for him because he's a monster. He's like great, you know, but. Yeah, but you're right. You can.
Well, the guitar can take you down some seedy roads, though.
Yeah.
You know, and I won't mention any names, but there's some people that have some kids that are, you know, really. My son doesn't play music, but he does the sound for his friend's band.
Nice.
And they're all, you know, in that age, and they're, you know, they're playing at the Hammock, and they're playing, you know, they're hanging out in bars.
Yeah.
You know, and they obviously have a designated time for kids to play, but. It's still a bar.
Still a bar.
You know, I mean, there's still happy moments being remembered at bars. I mean, you know, so I love the, you know, the drive of these kids and their parents. I think it's terrific. But, you know, I wonder, or I hope that it doesn't end up being that lifestyle, you know.
Right.
It's like early stripper school, you know. It's you know, you start getting a little taste.
Yeah.
A little taste of that excitement. And
right.
But, you know, I've always loved music, and I've always been fascinated with guitars and just the way they feel. I was always a Strat guy. I never was into the Les Paul. The neck was too thick for me.
Neither was I. I have a lot of respect, but and it's funny. It's like it's like anything else out there where you got a choice. You know, people will say, "Oh, this is the best guitar." Well, nah, it depends what you're going to do. And even beyond that, even, you know, just. I was a single coil man from way back, and that's why I like Mike Ness, because he does play Les Pauls, but he has the soap bar pickups instead of the humbucker. Nothing against humbuckers. It makes sense. They change the face of rock and roll, but I just always, and I know why. There's no logic behind it. One of my second guitar teacher, country picker, I swear to God, he looked like Squiggy from Lenny and Squiggy on the Laverne and Shirley show.
Yeah.
You know, remember the greasy?
Yeah.
Laverne, you know. This guy taught me, and he had a Telecaster. Never wrote anything down. Showed me, okay, we're going to play, Green River or Proud Mary or whatever. And he would show me these licks using two strings for, you know, hammer-ons and pull-offs and slides. Like, wow. But I knew that I wanted a Telecaster for no other reason than I think if your guitar teacher, that's why I switch up guitars a lot. So no one.
So is that your favorite guitar, Telecaster?
Yeah. Well, it was for a long time. Then it still is. But I had always wanted a Gretsch 6120, the Western one with the G branded in it. You know. My friend Junior Wilson called me down one time. Hey, you got to come down to the shop someday. And so I came down. There's one hanging on his wall. I knew what he was doing. And he said, yeah, you ought to try that. Take it down. I'm like, God. That wouldn't be the first guitar he sold me by simply putting it in my hand. You know, but, so I like that one, too. But the telly, probably. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that you worked at BB or B&B Music.
Yes.
And... I hate to share this story, but when I lived in San Diego, I was, you know, my life was a little different. My behaviors were a little shady. And somehow I ended up with a hollow body Gibson guitar.
Oh, no. I know where this is going.
And when I first moved out here, I hated it. Just hated it. You know, and I think that a lot of people experience that. You know, they move somewhere and they're like, ah.
Yeah.
It's not as good as where I was.
Right, right.
And until you go back to where you were, or until you stay at a place for a while, like even when I moved to Rehoboth, I had moved to Easton because I hated it. And
right.
And I couldn't wait to get back.
Yeah.
But initially when I got here, I hated it. So I sold my Gibson to B&B Music.
Oh, wow. I know. I was going to say, are there tissues? Or
it was so.
We all have
like,
stories
it was like
that.
The B.B. King, you know, the B.B. King hollow body.
Yes, yes. Like and the Lucille thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was so nice. And I sold that for, to buy a ticket to Albuquerque, a plane ticket.
But, you know, I think musicians and that, especially guitar players, are probably the biggest example of that saying, hindsight is 20/20. We all have I should have never sold that original Crybaby pedal. Or I had a 1950, again, I bought this off of Junior Wilson, too, a 1954 Fender Champ amplifier. So it was older than I was, and it was in better condition than any I'd seen on the, you know, I'd scour the internet looking at these things. And I sold it to get that Gretsch. So.
Well, you know, now that I think about it, I got to give it to you. In fact, I have an old ADA head. It's a preamp and a tube solid state head that
Oh, really?
Yeah, I bought it in San Diego, and I think that's what Kirk Hammett was playing at the time. I was like, well, I got to have that.
That was a big name.
ADA. Yeah. It's a great head, but I'm not using it. It's just stuck in my shelf in the garage, and I need to just give it to you. And
oh, my God.
I will absolutely give it to you because maybe you will find a guy, a young kid that doesn't have any money, that's really dedicated, that you can pass it on to and give away.
That's interesting you bring that up. I'll comment on that. That has happened to me more time than, because I share stories, whether it's on Facebook or I like talking about my students. My Facebook post, hardly any of them are like, hey, come sign up for lessons. They're mostly like, hey, look at this Marvel comic T-shirt that this kid wore, or look at these cool sneakers, you know. And it's all about the fun that we're having there. It's made it so people will show up at my door. They said, hey, I want you to find a good home. I found this in the closet and I could sell it, but you know what? Find a good home for it. And let me just say this. In the beginning, I based it on the wrong criteria. Who is needy? Who needs this financially? That doesn't always pan out because it sometimes they went unused. But now I keep a running list in my head. I have, for instance, I have a student who, very good student, played. His parents got him a decent guitar. It wasn't really good. It was a classical guitar, but their knowledge was, well, this is an acoustic guitar. Let's start him on this. Well, he really needed a steel string or an electric or whatever. But about a year and a half, and I see how dedicated this kid is, never complained, always did his homework. I called his mother up and said, hey, don't... please, if you feel weird about this, I understand, but this is not charity. Someone gave it to me, so I'm trying to find a home, and I think your son is a good enough student to... And she was really cool with it, and he just... His playing blew up even more. So I do that quite often. I've found homes for amplifiers.
Well, this I had a Marshall cabinet, and I gave the Marshall cabinet away to a kid that was really good. He turned out to be, he doesn't even do music now, and I don't know where the cabinet went, but, you know, it doesn't, it's just junk, right? I mean, I could hold on to it. I always say, to cut off your nose to spite your face.
Right.
You know, it's just not worth it. And I was cleaning out my garage this week, and I saw it. I'm like, God, it's a great head, solid state. It's a preamp and then an amp.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'll give it to you. And then all it needs is a cabinet. And you can plug it in.
I got one.
Yeah, and you can, I mean, give it away, use it, clean it up.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm thinking I even
sell it, split the money with me.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
No. You don't have to
keep the money.
Yeah, I would never sell it. That's bad juju, I think.
That's bad juju.
Now,
right?
Really, if someone gives you something, you find a home for it and you do the, you know, pay it forward or whatever you want to call it, pay it backwards, I don't know, but yeah.
Well, I do, you know, I wish...
It's good. Those are usually the things that change people's lives, I'm finding. If I, like I said, you give something to someone, and all of a sudden this kid discovers, wow, you know.
So when you have, I wanted to ask you, so when you, and you'd mentioned what's the 21 Pilots song with the ukulele?
House of Gold.
House of Gold. Yeah. So when you hear like a song like that, or you see a band like that that's kind of trending, do you go, oh shit, here comes ukulele lessons?
Yeah. I go, oh boy, here comes ukulele.
You know what I mean?
So I have ukuleles, and it doesn't, I'll be the first to say this, you know, there's that pattern response that all teachers are supposed to say, like, is the bass easier than the guitar? Well, every instrument has its own set of own discipline, and you know, we're supposed to say stuff like that, but I'm here to tell you the ukulele is easy. Now, I've gotten into classical ukulele recently, where you're playing it like classical guitar, so that's a little different, but just to get up and running on chords and playing some basic stuff, you know, I try to get people to sign up for the summer. I said, hey, sign up for a month. You'll walk away. Even if you only take a month, you'll walk away with a hobby that, you know, you can mess around with here and there.
Well, if you were closer, I would absolutely have. My son was just doing ukulele. And
oh, cool.
He brought the ukulele home. I guess the guy let him use it. But he's definitely into ukulele. And but Jesus, I can't get up to Wyoming.
I'll have to send him some. You know, they have tablature for it. And that's I have no problem with tablature. I remember years ago, teachers were supposed to have a problem with tablature, but I like it. And
thank God for tabs.
Yes. I've got some.
I mean, I would have never learned half the songs if I didn't have tab.
They have
learn music? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. I teach reading music. The only time I read music is when I'm teaching a young person how to read music. And I can do it, but I don't like when I'm sitting around playing it. You know, music in front of me. And it's like, now, I'll have to get you some, remind me to get you, I'll send you some email or whatever, some tab for classical. He might not be crazy about it at first, but I've watched it just grab young students. They come in wanting to plunk around on 21 Pilots, you know, bling, bling, you know. But I say, hey, let's just try this, and they'll look at it, and we'll go through it. And all of a sudden, they're playing this neat class that sounds like they're playing classical guitar, and it grabs them. And I've had a lot of them that's like, hey, let's keep doing this, the classical stuff. So it's kind of neat.
Well, I love the ukulele because I, you know, and I just kind of admit this, but I love to sing. I love singing. I'm not a singer, but I love singing. And the ukulele allows me to sing.
Yes.
You know, I can kind of, you know, plunk around and sing along. And,
yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a huge complicated thing. And I can have my moment and then move on. I love singing. I wish I would have focused on it early because I think I could have been good at it.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I'm not just saying that, but I love it. I love singing.
I'm not trained. I like doing it when, you know, people, I don't know whether they're being polite or trying to give me, you know, tell me in a nice way that I suck, but they say, yeah, but for what you sing, your own stuff, you got to have a good voice. I'm like, okay. It's like the Neil Young thing, you know. You wouldn't hire Neil to be in your choir, but no. He sings his stuff like nobody else.
Well, and that's funny because we love watching The Voice, and I go, if Eddie Vedder was on The Voice, I wonder if he would win. Probably not. You know, as a voice.
Yeah.
As a voice, it's not great probably, but as a voice of a generation.
Let's take an even bigger example, Bob Dylan.
Oh,
where would anybody, if he was singing anybody else's stuff, where would anybody say, boy, that guy's really good?
Well, you need Bob Dylan and a little sprinkling of angst, you know. Revolution. Revolution makes everybody better.
Right. Man, he's good. Yeah.
Well, I'm lucky I missed Bob Dylan, Bob Dylan era. I grew up in the metal.
Yeah.
We were listening to... and I really did. I did grow up in the metal days. So I had this friend that lived in Germany, and because we were both military brats, and he was in Germany, and we'd send mixtapes back and forth.
Yeah.
And he sent me this, you know, my first real metal favorite band was Judas Priest. He was big, you know, that Green Man Alishi I was like, oh my gosh. And I figured that was a point in my life. You either went, you know, Duran Duran or Judas Priest. And I went Judas Priest.
That's a good road.
Yeah, I loved all that music. And I was saying to somebody, I go, you know, I love the time that I grew up. And you were, you know, you're 10 years older than me, but we still grew up in a time where, you know, you bought a record or a cassette, You played it. It was there was more to it just than the music. It was the layout, the opening song, the journey through the album.
It was an orchestration. The set list or the song list was, they took you, okay, we're going to start you here, and then by the end of and then forget about it. Albums, that was so carefully, look at Abbey Road or whatever, that's an extreme example, but everything was. And then going back to the albums or even the cassettes, if you had good eyesight, but the albums, you'd read the liner notes while you were listening to
them. Dude, first of all, did you leave the plastic on or off? I mean, that was right away you were in a different sort of club. I mean, you either left that plastic on or I took it off, tore it off. But some people would cut it and keep that plastic on. But just the smell.
Yes.
There was a smell. this tattoo on my arm right here.
You can smell it.
Spin the black circle.
Yeah.
That's his Pearl Jam song. Yeah. Drop it down, dropping the needle down on the record. But it was a whole process. And
got to remember cleaning. You had that
felt.
Yes.
Scraper.
And you would never want to be accused of being the person who put the nickels on the needle to keep it from skipping.
I know.
It's terrible.
I never heard of that. But it was a whole thing. So I always say, I always feel like I grew up in the best time for music.
Right.
I was dedicated. Yeah. I was committed. Not like these kids.
It meant something.
It meant something.
Right.
Well, that's like hence, fast forward to now, and I took, we just went to Firefly and I took my 14-year-old son David and his buddy Oliver, and those kids sat on the rail all day. Waiting for Panic at the Disco.
Yeah.
They're huge Brandon fans. And I'm like, geez. My son and I, he's just gotten his an iPhone. He's got my old iPhone, really. But we're on the same. We share, everything we share. So if he takes a picture, it shows up in my pictures. If I take a picture, it shows up in his pictures. So, the whole time they were taking pictures. They're fascinated. My son's fascinated with rock band photographers.
Oh, nice.
So he had all these pictures with the photographers that were in front in that the VIP plus.
Yeah.
That were taking pictures
big
of the band.
Lens.
Yeah. But they were doing selfies, doing with all the rock photographers. And I'm like, So first of all,
that's
I need to
different.
Butt out.
Yeah.
Second of all, I think we all have our moment, right?
Yeah.
Ours, I remember ours. My son, they're having, I say, well, you never put the needle down. You were never committed.
Right.
But you know what? They have a variety of music that I never, or we never had, right?
We all turn into, we turn into our parents. My mom say, I'm not just saying this, Jimmy, but our music of our generation was really the best.
We danced.
And I nod and I say, yep. Yeah, we did. We knew how to dance. We knew different dances. You just, And then I heard, I have a student who's about 70. Well, I won't mention her name, but she swears that the music of the 60s was the best. So I think it marks our time. It marks our generation. It's our memory. So, yeah, we're going to say it's the best.
Well, it's almost the anthem to us bailing on our parents, right?
Yeah.
It's like...
yeah, I never heard it.
It's time to go, and this is my anthem.
Yeah.
And, that's always a big...
Turn that noise down. Yeah, I've arrived.
Yeah, so it's always a big, when I always say the reason our kids become such assholes is because it makes us easier for them to leave, Because
right.
if they were sweet, we'd just never
let
them go.
Get out. Boom. Yeah.
But it's always to some anthem of some music. And mine was actually, I remember the conversation, what's the matter? And I'm listening to The Wall, in the back of my mind, The Pink Floyd was a big anthem on me marching the hell out of there.
Yeah.
But so music is great. I mean, and I know you're playing bands, but do you guys play down here? What is your mention the name of your group?
Well, I'm in a duo called...
Do you need a singer?
Called Pub... we're
don't
auditioning
hurt my,
Eddie
don't hurt
Vedder.
My feelings, Jim.
Eddie Vedder and Neil Young will be auditioning on Monday. No,
and
I play in a duo, not a lot, not enough, with a guy named Keith Broden. It's called Pub Crawl. And it's very interesting. He's English, thinks he's Irish. I grew up, third generation. My grandparents are right from Ireland, and I grew up on Irish music, all the rebel stuff and the drinking stuff, and although I'm being redundant there. So always fancied being in a band, you know, playing Irish music, but never wanted to just be another guy playing, you know, the Parting Glass and the same old stuff that I grew up on. And it's being done, and people are making a living. Even over in Ireland, they're playing the same old stuff. This guy says, "Hey, man, let's do this." He said, and he introduced me to some revved up song, you know, a little bit of punk sprinkled in there, like Clash.
Yeah,
we morph from like we do the Star of the County Down, and Van Morrison did it. Everyone did it, and each verse gets faster, and then finally it morphs into Locomotive Breath,
nice,
and then back into the song. So we do stuff like that all night, and it's fun. But that's the only. Most of my stuff is solo. I got, like I said, I've been playing all my life, and about 8-9 years ago, I got the songwriting bug. And first thing I did is go back to everyone who picks up guitar comes up with a little nugget or piece or something. And I tried that and they all sucked, you know. But I finished off 3 pieces of song. This is back in, you know, 2010, I don't know, 2011, whatever. And all of a sudden I started writing and writing and writing and writing. And I admire people like, again, my friend Saul. He'll put time aside, and this is my writing time, and I'll write, and he'll know what he wants to do, and really good. What I find works for me is, like, I'm ready, and I capture ideas on my phone, but I, you know, I'm always ready to grab that idea, and then I go back and, like, okay, I got to put some time in Saturday and finish some songs. But anyway, make a long story short, that's where I've kind of gravitated. Less of the brown-eyed girl gigs where I'm playing cover tunes. I don't play as much as I used to, you know, maybe 5 times a month, sometimes even less. But, you know, but I play like songwriting circles. And
let's do a Social Distortion cover band.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you play any Social Distortion?
I love Social Distortion.
I'll sing.
I actually
once.
I have a guitar.
That's uninvited feelings, they come without
a
warning.
It's such a crazy. I love it, Under the Influence. That was fun listening to him go back all these songs that kind of influenced him.
It's on YouTube, but there's an acoustic jam they do. They do like 4 or 5 songs. It's just, I mean, the songs are, you know, it's just painful, right? It's just all addiction, recovery, up, addiction, recovery.
Rinse and repeat.
Fucking up, right, exactly. Breakups.
Yeah.
But it's like almost like the anthem of our life, right? It's like, it's like growing up in the 80s.
I'll tell you something, a little something I get into every September. I start gearing up for Halloween by listening to, you know, I told you I was in rockabilly. Well, especially in the 90s, and especially coming from places like Denmark or whatever, there's this psychobilly or horrorbilly. It's
oh,
like,
boy.
It's like rockabilly meets, but it's not like metal, you know, the way they approach, like, you know, anything satanic. It's more like campy, like the old horror movies, like Frankenstein. Mm. And it's like this melding of both of them. I listen to these bands called Matador or Necromantics and Who Killed the Cheerleaders, name some of theirs. And I've been binging on that lately. So it's like, it's got a little bit of Mike-ness in there, you know, it's like.
Well, you mentioned, I mean, Denmark, all those like Scandinavian up there, they get some dark metal.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, I was definitely into Metallica, but we also were in a band like Destruction, and Sepultura, and they were Brazil. But you know, these European,
You're right,
dark metal,
and this kind of has a little bit of that in there, you know.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
Halloween.
Yeah. I'll have to get you some of that stuff, too. I got a list now of stuff I got to get you.
Well, I'm excited. You know, I always say, listen, if I can, you know, I love doing podcasts. You ask me, how'd you get into doing podcasts? I'm like, I don't know. I just, could I do it?
Yeah.
Let's try. And, but one of the amazing things from doing the podcast is I meet a lot of great people. And I always say, if I can leave a podcast with a new friend, I appreciate it so much, and especially a guy that's into guitar and rock and roll. And
we had quite the conversation just the first time we talked about gear and stuff like that.
Well, and I hope you know, you I think you would come back.
Oh, yeah.
Because when we'll get corporate in here, and he's a, you know, he's the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
You know that guy? But he's awesome, and he loves music.
We can bring in some toys, some of the pedals and stuff. Yeah,
and he, you know, we do a podcast called Tom and Carlos, and maybe you can come hang out with us, because we like talk about Pearl Jam and music.
Oh, nice.
And so he's Carlos over 50, because he's seen Pearl Jam over 50 times. And I'm just 9, because I've only seen it just 9 times. And we can call you, Jim, not yet.
Yeah. Jim, what the hell is your problem?
Yeah. We'll call you Jim, I'm close. Keep going, I'm close.
Can I do a shameless plug?
Dude, let's...
Because
shame away.
I think, so it's the 11th, it's September 11th today. And you said this might be hitting about like a week and a half.
Yeah.
The aforementioned Jessica Moyer has asked me to do a little singer songwriter thing on a Wednesday, September 25th.
Okay.
At her studio in Wyoming. It's 200 Southern Boulevard, Wyoming, Delaware, 19934. But anyway, it's a house concert. You show up, there's no ticket sales. You show up, suggested donation, but no one twists your arm. And it's very casual. It's BYOB, and it's just me and a very talented young lady, Lauren Cooney, from the Wilmington area. She has a band. You'll love the name of the band. The band's Lauren and the Homewreckers, but she does a lot of singer-songwriting. Isn't that great? Isn't that great name?
Yes.
That's like one of those names. Oh, I wish I
need to meet Lauren.
Yeah, she's great. But so we're just sharing the stage, just the two of us, and we do I do one, she does one, I do one, she does, and what I like about those, and that's where my preferred gig is these days, where you get to chat it up a little bit. I have a rule, the story about the song can't be longer than the song itself, so
that
I stick
makes
to,
sense.
Yeah, stick to that, but you know, it's more intimate, and people like dig that. I'm finding that, you know, again, I had to get over my own sense of, no one wants to hear this, or Catholic guilt or whatever, and realize that people do. They want. Oh, how'd you come up with this? Or give me the backstory or something like that. So we do that, and we sing. And I did one with her and another gentleman, and we had a blast. So when I asked her, I said, "Hey, my friend Jessica wants to do something other than, you know, she wants. It's more than a fitness. This wellness and community center she has is about everything from." Paint night to
so this podcast, I mean, it probably, like I said, won't be posted for like a week or something, but take a picture of the two of you, send it to me with some, and I'll share it, you know.
Oh,
we can
cool.
Still share everything on Rehoboth Social.
Okay.
I'll share it on my own Facebook. I'll share
okay.
it wherever we can share it. Just, you know, don't just because the podcast, you know, it's weird podcasting, you know. I have a ton of people that want to do podcasts. We get a bunch of podcasts in the bank. It's like fear, you know, it's like financial insecurity. I'm afraid that I'm not going to have anybody to do a podcast with. So I accept all this, and I get a little ahead of myself. And then, you know, I would love to just post this today, but I don't want to run out of people to podcast with.
Right.
So
no, that makes sense.
I have a few that are ahead of this one, but if you have anything, send it to me. I'll share it. We'll post everything. I mean, we're the sharing's caring.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What else do you want to plug? I mean, so what's your school?
So Delaware Guitar School.
Delaware Guitar School. And you did say that before.
And the number is my cell number, 302-632-7282. Guitar, acoustic, electric, bass. I do ukulele. I took up banjo about a year ago. I am not the Roy Clark picker yet. But beginning banjo, I've messed around with teaching. I will say this, it's disappoint some people, but I've worked really hard at filling my schedule and have finally given myself weekends off, you know. So unfortunately, I don't teach on Saturdays or Sundays, but I teach early in the morning to late at night, people on their lunch break, homeschoolers, like I said, and it fills up the time. I have a lot of fun with it.
Do you ever go to people's houses?
I don't, because when I opened up the studio and started paying overhead on that, I thought, well, you know, let me get people here. I make one exception for that, and I'll tell you about that in a second. If I have a half-hour lesson and I have to leave 15 minutes before that, that's a half hour before that lesson and after that lesson.
Right.
So it, you know, that's the business end of it. I'd love to just teach anybody who asked and go wherever, but they're, you know, I'm paying bills with this.
Well, three traveling lessons, and you've really not, yeah, you've lost the ability to do three additional lessons. Is
right.
Kind of what,
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah. So for every lesson you teach, you miss two, one on the front end, one on the back end.
Right.
You know, so, you know, this model is working well. I did have someone about 5 years ago, Sandy Perkins. I put a little ad. I was trying to attract some senior citizens. I put a little ad in Modern Maturity's newsletter. You know, and
Modern Maturity.
Yeah. She called me up and said, "Hey, I don't have transportation." And I remember thinking, of course you don't. Probably no one reading this, the publication that I just advertised in, has transportation. She said, and something told me to do it anyway. I said, look, if you can be flexible, when I go early in the morning, sometimes I'll do it like a Friday morning. Or nice lady who's hard life, got some health issues and stuff. We started playing guitar, and she bought a used Epiphone from a pawn shop. And she could, with her arthritis, could barely make, you know, the chord and everything. And I remember feeling bad about that and suggesting, hey, look, let me just come over. We're not going to charge you. And she got really upset. And so I learned not to do that. But that has corrected itself, and now I just go over and jam with her. But the interesting story is she called me up one day, right about the time after 3 months, when I saw, you know, she would strum chords, but the, you know, she knew she wasn't strumming the proper chord, but you know, we'd strum, it sounded horrible. But so she calls me up one day, says, "Jim, the lady upstairs sold me a couple of guitars, and one of them is a slide guitar." And I'm thinking, you don't know what a slide guitar is. Well, it was an old cheap slide guitar. I had to glue the nut, you know, raises the string, you know, it's got a square neck, so you don't hold it. You lay it flat on your lap with the sound hole pointing up. The strings are really high. And I tuned it, fixed the bridge, repaired it, put stickers on the frets with label G, C, D, you know, to the chords. Gave her a slide. And the first time she went from a G, slid it down to a C, beamed, did a big smile on her face. So now she's strumming chords. I tell her what chords to strum. It's color-coded. Boom. She's writing music, too.
It's kind of weird that you mentioned that, because I almost feel like life is in key. You know, it's like life is kind of in key. And then when life's out of key, it's like, ooh.
That's
when life, you know, like sound, music, it comes and finds your key.
Yeah, the
it's
whole
like,
harmony thing. Everything,
wow.
Everything is clicking. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Awesome. I like that. You're deep, man.
I'm deep, bro. That's what happens over here at the Thomas David Salon podcast studio on top of Deep.
I have to tell you, I really like the studio, too, by the way.
Thank you, brother.
I just dig it. It's got a good vibe.
Well, listen, we cracked the hour. One of my favorite podcasts. I really appreciate
it. Wow,
thank
you very much.
I love the chat. I love the easiness of
you. I can't believe it's been that long. It just, you know.
I know, that's what they always say. They're like, I got nothing to say. Hour and a half later, I'm like, dude,
yeah,
shut it down. But listen, this door, I always say, anybody that comes on the podcast that spends an hour with me, thank you, because I know your time is important,
I
really appreciate it. The door to the podcast studio is always open to you, my friend.
I would, seriously, I'm not just saying this to be a nice guy, because I'm not a nice guy, but...
Just stop it.
Actually, I am. My card says it. I don't know if I
nice guy?
Where is it? I don't even have a card. Says Jim Rizak, songwriter and hell of a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
I'll get you
self-promoting. One. But the door is always open for you, and I love music.
I'm coming back.
We'll have
fun.
You back, and we'll bring some more guitars. You brought a cool.
Yeah.
What's the name of that guitar?
It's Backlund, Backlund. And it's too bad that people can't see that, but it's look it up. It's called.
I'll post those pictures on the Instagram.
It's called a rocker box. And mine is cream color and red, and it looks like either something George Jetson would play, or everyone says, that looks like a 50s diner, the guitar itself. And I said, yeah, that's kind of why I got
it. Well, we'll post all those pictures when the podcast goes up, so we'll just have everything all
very
together
cool.
So people can put it all together. But listen, man, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
I wanted to tell you, so someone told me now that we have the RoboSocial podcast that we can get press passes for Firefly.
Really?
So you might have to join the Rehoboth Social Podcast crew.
Well, yeah, I could be the boom guy.
Yeah, well, I'm looking into it. I mean, if we can get press passes, I'm in. Oh, that sounds like better than VIP plus.
You know, your phone's going to blow up now. Like, hey, I'd like to join.
Yeah, can I come help?
I listen to the radio, so I know.
All right, brother. Okay. Have a great day.
You too,
man. Enjoy. Thank you again.
Okay.
All right, bud. Bye.